If you would, to 1 Timothy chapter number, well, I'll give you two places, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And Brother Craig, if we get any latecomers and we got any youth that come in, let them know they can come up here up front. We got room for them. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 1 Timothy chapter 5. I will tell you, it is good to be in church this morning. Amen. It's good to be upright. I will also warn you, as I lead music, I'm still deaf in my left ear, so if it sounds bad, just smile. Okay. Yesterday, we went to another nursing home, not affiliated with our church ministry, and my kids were playing some music there, and we all at the end started singing a song. And I looked at my wife and said, "That sound okay?" She goes, "That was bad." You can always count on your wife to tell you the truth. Amen. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read a verse here in chapter 4 and a couple in chapter 5. This is just something I've really felt would be a help and a blessing. It's my desire to be a help and a blessing to our young people. And I will say this. Whatever I'm about to give them is something I think applies to everybody in this room as well. And I would also say if we want to support our young people, we all have to be on board with the same ideas biblically. Amen. And there's a lot against them right now. They're pretty much everything in media, everything in Hollywood, everything everywhere is against our young people. And it is it's imperative that we give them the resources that they need so that they can fight against it out there. I would also say this. Some of you that are here that are older, if you could time travel, and if you could get into a DeLorean and go back in time, right? You'd go back and you'd do things differently. Am I right about that? You got some truth later in life, and it's never too late to do right. But it doesn't mean you won't be doing right with some baggage hanging on. Yeah. So what we're trying to do is I got a message specifically for you guys, and I want to help you this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, read this verse the other night. What a good time we had at that youth fundraiser. That dinner was a blessing. Man, that was good food. It was a lot of fun. And I'll announce this again during the morning service, but we raised almost $1,000. As a matter of fact, I think we're $11 away, so I'm going to make sure we give $11 extra from our family and just make it $1,000 even. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, look if you would at verse number 12. The Bible says, "Let no man despise a youth." All right, you guys are young. You know what that means? Don't let anybody look at the time that you are at in your life and say you can't do something for God with it, because you can. All right? "Let no man despise thy youth." And look what it says here. Pay attention. "But be thou an example of the believers." And by the way, what I'm about to read is something that everybody, if I'm too loud, I'm sorry. I can't tell how loud I am right now. So just smile and nod, all right? But in verse number 12, it says, "Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Can I say this? This is something that all of us should be an example in. This is not just limited to the young people. All right, but this morning I do want to direct some of this toward them, and I want them to understand you can do right at 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, regardless of what the world tells you. Amen. Right? You can be different, and being different is not bad. Being different is good. If you want to make a difference in your life, it's going to count for something. You're going to have to be different, and it's okay. And the Lord commends it, and He blesses that. But I want you to notice that as we look at this verse, Paul is writing a young preacher. And at the end of that verse, he says, look, there's a number of things I want you to be an example in. One of those things is purity. Pay attention to that. You should be an example to the older folks. And you should be an example to them in purity. Look at chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. You might say this is something that hits home for me because I've got teenagers in my house. It's personal to me right now. I want them to be pure. I want all of our kids to live a pure life. They've got a chance at doing that where maybe some of you did not. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a living testimony. Did I mess up some things? Sure. But I can tell you right now, there's nothing better than getting saved when you're young, staying right with God when you're young, surrendering when you're young, getting married to the right person when you're young, 19, all right? And just getting set and focused on living for God. There's nothing better than that. And you as adults, as parents, can I say this? Yes, encourage them to pursue education. Nothing wrong with that. Encourage them to pursue a good career. But above that, encourage them to pursue purity. Chapter 5, look if you would at verse number 21. I charge thee. I want to talk to you this morning about a charge worth keeping. A charge worth keeping. I'll explain what that word charge means here in a moment. But in verse 21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality, laying hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Last three words, pay attention, underline it if you got a way to highlight this. Keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. That is a charge worth keeping. I know we had prayer this morning. If you don't mind, I'm just going to ask God to help me get my thoughts together for this. I want to be a blessing to them specifically this morning. Father, this morning I pray that the word would go out. I pray it would be a blessing and a help to these young people. Lord, help them to see that they can keep themselves pure. Lord, help them to see that it is a blessing to be pure. Lord, I pray that we would empower them. We'd give them all the resources, all the tools. Lord, not just here at church, but what is said within our homes, what is watched within our homes, or what is spoken within our homes, or whatever is absorbed within our homes. Lord, I pray that it would line up with this book and would help all of us to keep ourselves pure. But especially these that are young this morning, I pray you'd help them and help with the word as it goes out to do its job. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice in verse 21 the first three words and the last three words in verse 22. The first three words in verse 21 are, I charge thee. You know, and I'm going to talk to you about what the word charge means. It's a little bit different than just a commandment. All right, it goes a little bit beyond that. All right, it's to lay on somebody something. You ever heard people out in the world say, lay it on me, brother, lay it on me, right? I am going to lay it on you this morning. All right, because that is what a charge is. Let me give you some definitions for the word charge. To load or lay on in words. To lay on in words, to impute to. That means to put it on your account like, hey, wake up, this is for you. And by the looks of it, some of you need some coffee. Amen. All right? To lay on, to give or communicate as an order, command, or earnest request. I cannot make anybody here be pure. I cannot make any of you adults be pure. So you know what this is? This is an earnest request on your pastor's part to you. This is an earnest request, not just from your pastor, but from a brother in Christ that knows the blessings of living a pure life. I'm telling you, it is worth it. It's an earnest request this morning to lay on, give, or communicate as an order, to enjoin or to exhort. I want you to notice, look at verse number 22. There are three things that are laid out here. Number one, be particular about spiritual matters. Notice what he says in verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man. That has to do with ministry. And I understand that Paul is talking to a preacher. So some of you might be going, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm a girl. I'm not going to be a pastor or whatever. Or I'm a young man. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. Regardless of that, here's what you can get out of it. Paul is saying to Timothy, hey, be careful about who you put your stamp of approval on when it comes to ministering the word of God. You don't be flippant about spiritual things. Just because someone says they're a Christian doesn't mean they are. All right? Just because someone has a Bible doesn't mean it's the right one. Just because it says church on the top of it. Listen, I've been to some places that call themselves restaurants. They ain't serving up real food. All right? You've got to be careful about spiritual matters. The most important thing you have in your life is your walk with Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus said? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now listen, if you're saved this morning, you can't lose your soul, but you can miss out on fellowship with God. You can miss out on spiritual blessings. Look, you'll get to the end of your life, and if you live long enough, you'll look back, and even if you do right as much as you can, you're still going to have some regrets. But you can limit that. You can sequester that by looking at this verse and going, okay, I'm going to be careful about spiritual matters. What do I look at and say, this is truth? Number one, be particular about spiritual matters. Number two, be particular about relationships. Notice what he says in verse 22, neither be partaker of other men's sins. I'm going to ask you young people a question this morning. Listen up. Who are your friends? Who are you closest to? Who do you confide in? Who do you trust? Who do you lean on? Who are the closest people to you in this world? Can I say this right now? Parents, you should do everything you can. Every adult in this room, whether these are your kids or not, you should look at them as spiritual children in this church. And you should do everything you can to encourage them to form friendships here. Because I'm telling you, the ones out there by themselves, I'm not saying everybody out there is bad. That's not my point. But I'm going to tell you, if you are closer and you're forming bonds and you're telling secrets and you're telling friends things that you won't tell your parents and vice versa, let me tell you how that ends. Bad. And I'm telling you, this is a little bit of a shot across the bow, a little bit of a warning. All right. I'm trying to tell you, on the flip side, look, you can have people that you can joke with and have fun with and fellowship with and make wonderful memories with. Where you can go, you know what? It was clean. It was fun. Nothing wrong was said. You should have that in your life. Yeah. And you know what the vehicle for that is? It's the local church. Parents, can I tell you, do everything you can. Adults, do everything you can. Not just to encourage them to form close friendships, but you as well. Yeah. I know some Christians that have gone to church for 25 years and they're closer to people at work than they are at church. Something is wrong there. Let me say this. We all work with people. We all have spheres of influence. Nothing wrong with ministering to others. Nothing wrong with reaching out to others. But when you're closer to people in the world than you are with God's people, there's something wrong with that picture. You go, well, I just don't know if I want to get too close. They might see all my sins. They might know that I'm, hey, welcome to the club. If you weren't here Wednesday night, I preached about insecurity. And I'm going to tell you, that will hold you back from becoming closely attached to the people in this room. Don't let it. Thirdly, notice what he says, keep thyself pure. Verse 22, be particular about purity. You should make some rules for yourself. Can I say this, young people? Moms and dads should not be the only ones making rules for you. You should be smart enough at this point in your life to know you are a sinner. All right? And you should be smart enough to understand you have flesh. And adults, can I say this? The preacher shouldn't have to make... There's some things that you should just look at and go, I'm drawing a line here because I need it for myself. Amen. The definition of purity. Here we go. Freedom from guilt. Isn't that nice? Yeah. To not always wonder when's that going to come out? When's that going to come back? Freedom from guilt or the defilement of sin. Innocence as purity of heart or life. Chastity. Freedom from any sinister or improper views as a purity of motives or designs. If you're going to keep pure, can I say this? It's going to be because you do it on purpose. Purity does not happen naturally in the world in which we live. Can I give you, and I know some of you are taught things differently in school, but here we go. You guys ready for this? We did not evolve from monkeys. And we did not come from an amoeba, okay? Because you know how things go? Ask anyone that does maintenance on a car. What happens with a car over time? Does it naturally get better? I mean, does your body naturally get better with time? Does anything? Yeah, the second law of thermodynamics proves that entropy is within a closed system. Things don't get more energy. They wind down and die. And when it comes to purity, it's not like you just say, okay, I'm saved now. I'm just going to automatically become more pure. Uh-uh. That's going to be a battle. But it can be done. Can I give you a... Now, that was just all introduction. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Point number one is this. The charge that's worth keeping, the charge shows it is possible. Purity can be accomplished. Can I say this, adults? Purity can be accomplished in your life like it can be in theirs. And let me just say this for a moment. I'm just trying to be real with everybody this morning. Do not put something on the children that you're not doing yourself. The charge shows that it is possible. Maybe you guys have never thought about this. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I don't know. But do you ever look at history? And some of you are like, who likes history here? Be honest. If you don't like it, you don't have to raise your hand. All right, who hates history? Raise your hand if you hate. Oh, Lord, here we go. We are in trouble. All right? Let me help you out. I will tell you what. I will do the favor for you. I'll give you the history. You don't have to read it right now, okay? Here's the history of the early church. They are in the Roman culture. They're surrounded by pagans. You know what pagans are? They worship Venus, they worship Jupiter, they worship Mars, they offer animal sacrifices to these gods, they do all kinds, they commit fornication in their temples, they do all kinds of wicked things as part of their worship. And if you don't fit within that culture, and you've got another god that says to be holy, to be different, to be pure, not to do what they do, not to offer sacrifices to their gods, you know what you are? You are a pariah. You're an outcast. And you know what the early church did? See, you got this idea. It's so hard to be pure today. There's so much junk out there. True, I get it. But can I tell you this? It was just as hard in the first century for those Christians. And they did it. Amen. They were getting thrown in the Colosseums to lions because they wouldn't worship the false gods. There's all kinds of charges in the early church. Paul says this, flee fornication, flee idolatry. Why does he say that? More than once, by the way. Why does he say that to the early church? Because that was the challenge of their day. It really isn't that much different than today, if you think about it. But it was possible, and it was accomplished, and it can be in your life. Can I say, there's a couple reasons why you know it's possible. Here's one. God tells you to do it. God instructs you to do it. You know, I remember the story in the Old Testament about the priest getting to the River Jordan. You know what God told him to do? He said to go to the River Jordan and he would part it. He said, you put your foot in the water and as soon as you put your foot in, it's going to part. But you can't of your own will just say, be pure, be pure, be pure, be pure, and make yourself pure. All right? It doesn't work that way. But what you can do is listen to what God has told you to do already. And even if you think it's impossible, put your foot in. Put your foot in. You know what God does? He parts the water. Here's another one. Jesus Christ tells his disciples in Mark and in John, hey, these people that are out here, they have no food. They've got no bread. You know what Jesus says? Give ye them to eat. And you know the disciples thought? This is impossible. And yet, as soon as they obeyed what God told them to do, guess what? Everybody got fed. You're going to look at this thing and go, it can't be done. All of my friends out there, all the people I know, they all listen to that music. They all talk the same way. They all dress the same way. They all laugh about the same wicked stuff. And I'm just going to be like, you don't have to be. You can be different. And can I say this, adults? You don't have to laugh at the jokes at work either. It does good. Hey, can I tell you something? I'm not tooting my own horn, but someone came to me and they said, the vice president, one of the vice presidents of our company, hey, we're going to be giving this gift to the president of the company and I don't want to offend you. It's alcohol. You know what? I just, regardless of what the outcome of that conversation was, I was thankful that someone even said that. Can I say, you've got to learn to say, look, I want to be pure. I think it's possible. You know what you will never do? You'll never do something if you don't think it can be done. I'm here to tell you it can be done. God tells us to remain pure. Can I say this? Here's another reason why. Others have kept themselves pure. You realize this is not the first time in history that some guy rants and raves and tells you stay pure and someone did it. It's been done before. Hey, can I remind you that Josiah was 8 years old when he came to his kingdom? 8 years old. And as an 8-year old boy, you know what he did? He said, guys, I want to get back to the God of the Bible. And you know what he does? He sends a priest in to clean up the temple, and as they're in there, they find the words of God. And when he hears the words of God read to him, I think he's 26 at that point in time, 18 years after he starts his reign. He's 26 years old. Hears the words of God. He says, guys, we've got to change everything. And can I say this? His dad was wicked. You cannot blame your parents for their inconsistencies for the rest of your life. You're going to have to on your own. I'm not preaching against you, parents. I'm with you. I'm not always consistent. You cannot use that for a reason not to live purely yourselves. Josiah had a wicked dad who worshiped false gods and idols. His name was Amon. And yet Josiah did right. You familiar with the story of Joseph? Now listen, I know some of you sitting here this morning might go, Pastor, you don't know my family. I can tell you this much, it ain't as bad as Joseph's family. I mean, I don't know of anybody that's sitting here that's been sold into slavery by their siblings. You know, some of you are getting some ideas right now, like, that's not a bad idea, Pastor. Look, here's the point. Joseph was sold into slavery by his siblings. Then he gets to Pharaoh. And if you're not familiar with the story, he gets thrown into jail. He gets released out of jail. And you know what eventually happens? God promotes him to the second highest command in the nation. But you know what happens first? He gets sold into slavery, thrown into servitude, and then after that, his boss's wife accuses him of doing something he didn't do because he wanted to be pure. Can I say this? There'll be times where people say, you're goody two-shoes. You're one of those Christians. You can't do that. Hey, listen, you know what you should say back? I don't want to do that. It's not because I'm a Christian, not because I'm a pastor's kid, not because I'm a this, not because it's not because of all that. It's because I'm a born-again child of God. And I have the liberty to say no. And you should turn it around and learn to say, why can't you say no? Why are you always playing the victim, guys? Don't always be like, well, they told me and they pushed me. Push back. Amen. When they're pushing on you, say, hey, why don't you say no? Well, I get, you know what you're going to find out? Most of them don't even want to do what they're doing. They're doing it so they're accepted by everybody else. And if you think for a moment it stops after high school, you are sorely mistaken. You go to college and you have to be like everybody else and go to the fraternity parties and do this and do that and believe in evolution and science and put that over the Bible. And after that, it's about how big your house is, how nice your car is. And there's all, it never stops. You better figure this out now. I'm going to tell you right now, there are people that have stayed pure. It can be done. Here's another reason why God's promises are true. You know what the Bible says? Philippians 4:13. Yesterday, Emma was crying about playing violin, and poor Emma, we were trying to get her to play a song she didn't know, and we didn't understand she didn't know it, till we got to the nursing home yesterday, and her teacher goes, well, that's not the song she's supposed to play. She's supposed to play this song. We're looking at each other going, guess we should have listened to the kid, you know. But yesterday, she was crying again. I said, you can do all things through Christ. And amazingly, the song that she had just started to learn, with very little practice, I mean, like maybe one day, she played wonderfully. Now here's the point. You can do all things through Christ. You believe that Bible? Do you believe that Bible? Do you? And by the way, you guys can say amen too. That's not just an old person thing. I just want to make that very, very clear, all right? Every once in a while, raise your hand saying, thank God for what he's done for you. Oh no, I might not look cool. You're not as cool as you think you are anyways. I'm just getting that out of the way right now. All right? So just get over it and give God some praise. That's all right. But I want you to understand, if you believe that Bible, it says, I can do all things. Does that mean all things except for the things I don't think I can do? Nope. All things except for the things that my friends will make fun of me for. Can I say this? You will form, naturally, you'll form the right friendships if you learn to take a stand for Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand it's possible. Well, I won't be popular. Okay. We've got a problem in our chicken coop sometimes. Anyone that lives out in the country, has lived out in the country, you know this. The field mice will come in the wintertime. And you'll know this because exponentially there's more mice droppings around the food than, you know, normally. So what you do is you set out traps, you put decon out, and I'll tell you what. I read a story about a farmer, and he had this problem. And every night around the same time, he heard all this. I'll never forget, when we first got married, we lived in Pensacola, Florida, in a dumpy trailer. And it just, I tell you what, man, I love Colorado. I really do. Cockroaches that are this big, you know, and they can keep it, you know. You like your sunny Florida stuff, go enjoy it. Praise the Lord. I don't want it. But we were down there, and I'll never forget, it was like 2 in the morning, and my wife, she would get up, and I just thought to myself, well, honey, let the mice live, you know. Let them live. She's like, we've got to kill this thing. It's going to, you know, get us sick. We got the baby now. And I'm just like, well, it's a mouse. What's the big deal, you know? In my mind, I'm like, Rambo. Like, we're getting ready to go to the mission field. We got to get used to this kind of stuff. That doesn't work for ladies, all right? She was like, get out of bed and kill him. I know he's in there. And I'll never forget, I got the broom, you know, and I went in there. And I opened the door, and he looked at me, and I looked at him like, oh, buddy, I'm sorry, you know. And And so I had to, she's over there, I'm like, oh, look, I'm trying to catch him. You know, and he's running all over the place. But see, I've learned this. They can be a nuisance. They can be a problem, as cute as they might be. And our chicken coop has this problem. And I read this story about a farmer. Every night around the same time, around midnight, you'd hear, you hear all that. And that's sort of a creepy feeling, you know, if you're not sure what it is. And what he figured, he went to the hardware store and they said, hey, put this decon stuff out. And what decon has, I don't know if you know this, it has like a sweetener. It doesn't taste sweet to you. Don't taste it, all right? It's bad. Do you believe we live in the age where people yet tell them don't eat Tide? Yeah. What is wrong with our country? Don't eat decon, okay? But here's the point. There's a sweetener that's put in there for the mice. It tastes good to them. And naturally, when they're stimulated, when they eat it, they don't talk, but they communicate with their group. And the rest of the mice, they come. You say, why? It's what everybody's doing. And that farmer heard all those footsteps that first night. And he thought, you know, I just want to make sure I kill the problem. He puts it out that second night. Oh, man, same thing. There was more footsteps. That third night, he said, why? They're dead. Why? Because they did what was popular. Everyone's doing it. See, you think it's impossible to be different, but it's not. It's going to hurt. People are going to make fun of you. They're going to laugh at you. Get used to it. Eventually, let me say this. If you're here Wednesday night, I preach about insecurity. You know what most of those kids are around you? They're insecure. And you know what's happening? They're being raised by their peers. They don't have parents that are involved in their lives. And those kids are on Snapchat and on this and they're on this and they spend most of their time interacting with each other saying, how do I get accepted by you? They are looking for someone to stand up and say, you don't have to be stupid. You might be that person. Can I say this, adults? You might be that person. Secondly, the charge shows this. The charge shows you are responsible. You know what it says in that verse, adults? Keep thyself pure. You know what that means? Not only is it possible, but you are the one that's responsible for your purity. And I'll tell you what. You say, well, Pastor, you got to preach the word. Yep. Now, I'll tell you this. You know what that means? You're responsible to find a church that preaches the hell out of you. Amen. You're responsible to find where the Word of God is going to be found so you can get fed the Word of God and it can make a difference. You're responsible for your own purity is what I'm getting at. You cannot blame somebody else. This is something that you've got to take on your own. Keep thyself pure. Let me talk to the adults and the parents for a moment. Don't tune me out quite yet. I'm coming right back to you. From the external, parents, there are some things you can do to help. In a moment, I'm going to talk about the internal, where you cannot go, and only them and God can go. But for a moment here, let's talk about the external. Parents, can I tell you this? You have to draw some boundaries for your kids. Well, what do the other parents think? It doesn't matter. Are the other parents paying for your mortgage? Are they feeding your children? Then you know what? It doesn't matter. You should not care. And when your kid goes, well, their parents said they can do it. I don't care. Amen. You say, why? Because they're not feeding you. And they're not going to be there at your graduation. And they're not going to be there when your baby's born. And they're not going to be there when you're in sorrow. And they're not going to be there for you when you need help. That's on me. So my job is to raise you according to God's word. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Go there with me if you would. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Pastor, you're really loud. Yeah, I'm just going to blame it on my ear. Anything you don't like, I'm blaming it on the ear today. Pastor, you're a little mean. It's the ear, you know. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. I'm trying to help you, I promise, this morning. I mean that. I love you guys. And I am very, very weary of seeing young people get sucked out into the world. Some make it back, but I'll tell you the majority don't. 1 Samuel chapter number 2, and God's having a little bit of a problem with Eli. You say, who's Eli? Well, he's a priest. He's someone that knows the Bible. He's someone that understands his position. And parents, can I say this? Don't take for granted just because you're in church that things are going to turn out like they should. Heartache happens to Christians like it does to people in the world. when the boundaries aren't drawn. Now, I do want to say this, and I'm going to be very clear with you. Your parents can do everything right, and at the end of the day, it's going to be your decision. But I will tell you, you give them a much higher shot and a much higher chance of making it out unscathed from the world if you do your part. I want to show you 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And I want you to see that God is speaking to Eli here. Look at verse number 27. There came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear into the house of thy father, that's Levi, when they were in Egypt, that's Aaron's house, in Pharaoh's house. Did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Look at verse 29. Parents, adults, please pay attention. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation. Notice the next part of this. You know, there's some parents that won't be in church this morning because their kids didn't want to go. Shame on you. Shame on you. You're an adult. I'm being real. If my kid woke up and said, I don't want to go, tough apples. Oh, don't look at me like that. You make him brush your teeth. You make him go to school. You make him do all these other things. Some of you make him go do sports, and I'm not against it. But don't tell me when it comes to God, all of a sudden it's like, well, I just don't want to force myself. Hey, look, when they're 18, they can do whatever they want. When they grow up and they want to pay their own bills, let me say it that way. Yeah. When a kid goes, well, I'm 18. Good. There you go. Pay your insurance, pay your car, pay your food, pay your this, pay your that, and hallelujah, praise the Lord. Come back when you want to. Right. We'll talk later when you come to your senses a little bit. But here's the point, parents. You are the parent. Amen. And you do not, you should not honor your children above God. And if you're not careful, look, we live in a day and age where kids are appreciated. I think that's wonderful. 100 years ago, they had kids working in sweatshops and factories here in this country. And now it's like, we got them in soccer, they're in ballet, they're in archery, they're raising goats for 4-H, they're doing this. I'm not against any of that stuff. That's all good stuff. But I'm telling you right now, when any of that stuff, here's what's going to happen. Parents, pay attention. They're 16. They want a job. Put your cotton picking foot down and tell them not on Wednesdays and not on Sundays. Look, don't, Pastor, I can't believe you're telling me what to do. Okay, well, we'll see what happens about 10 years down the road when God's not any part of their life at all. You know why? Because you set the precedent that it wasn't that important. You know what happens with Eli? Look what it says here. Honor thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but here's what's going on. The sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were taking the sacrifice. They were forcing the people to give to them what was supposed to go to God. And the Bible says the people abhorred the offering of God. Anytime you put anything ahead of God, there's an abhorring that comes as a result of it. And parents, I'm telling you, especially if this happened later, if you got saved later in life, trying to steer the ship in a different direction may be harder, but I'm telling you, it is so worth it. And you don't have to be mean. You don't have to be forceful. You can be loving. You can be empathetic to where they're at and still say, hey, this is what is right. This is what we're going to do. But be consistent about it. The charge shows you're responsible. What do the other parents think? They're okay with it. All the other parents let them have phones. All the other parents let them listen to that music. All the other parents let them enjoy that kind of company. I mean, they're all just having fun. Isn't that what young people do? Listen, there's nothing wrong with having fun if it's right. I don't know. I think for those of you that participated Friday night, did you not have fun with that? Yeah. It was fun, wasn't it? Yeah, it was really fun watching you guys almost bump into each other and spill, you know, stuff all over the floor And I was telling someone, I don't know which one, I said, okay, when you get behind somebody, just say behind you, because that's restaurant talk. So you don't turn around, psh, you know. And thankfully, we didn't have any real major spills to clean up. You guys did a great job. But it was fun, wasn't it? It's good. But you know, you don't have to do on Saturday, you don't have to go, oh man, I hope my mom and dad don't find out about that. Right? Aren't you glad you didn't have to go, man, I have to delete that from my phone. I got to clear that up. Aren't you glad? See, it can be done the right way. And parents, can I say this? David weeps for Absalom when he's dead. But you know what David never does when he's alive? He never talks to him. Right. Parents, can I give you some things that maybe will help on the external? Set some boundaries. Tell your kids, hey, as Christians, we don't whatever. These are going to be your boundaries, not mine. We don't watch this. We don't really enjoy that kind of conversation. We don't listen to that because it takes our minds and our hearts in a direction away from God. We're just, these are some boundaries for us. And let, I'm not trying to be the parent. I know you're the parent, but please hear me out for a moment. That phone is like a gun. It is something you didn't deal with and I didn't deal with when we were teenagers. And I thank God I did not have Twitter or Facebook or Instagram when I was young. Because, oh my goodness, there'd be so many stupid things out there. But here's the point. That phone is like a gun. And if you don't put some boundaries on that thing with your kids and explain to them the dangers and explain to them, look, it's a tool. You can use it. It's not in of itself evil. But look at all these things that are out there. You've got to be careful. Hey, don't talk to, if people are sending you this kind of stuff, don't even respond to it. Say, stop it. I'm not interested. You've got to learn to do it. If you don't help them set those boundaries, they won't know always on their own. Set the boundaries. Secondly, parents, be consistent. Don't say yes and then no and then yes and then no and then no and then yes. Just let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Be consistent. Well, they just keep asking me and all their friends, it doesn't matter. What is right? And don't line up to my standard. Find out what God says for you. And go, okay, if the Bible says this is impure, this leads to wrong stuff, this is dangerous, it is not safe. And look, there are some things that you should say that you're not going to do or you're going to do simply because it is safe for your children. How about this? Communicate with them. I don't need you to raise your hand, but how many parents will take their kids one-on-one and just talk to them? Maybe take them on a date. Dads, take them on a date, especially if it's a girl. I mean, with your sons, don't take them on a date. That's weird, okay? But you understand what I'm saying? Take them out and do something with them. Talk to them. Do you understand? They're getting that 24/7 from their peers, and they're getting this much from you. You got to get a hold of that. Look, I have homeschooled children, and I'm still aware of the fact that that still exists with them because they're still connected through phones and through email and through this and through that. I've got to pour myself into my kids' lives. It is important that I do that. And when I don't, I see it. I can see the effects. I'm trying to help us parents. Guys, we've got to communicate with them, build a relationship. Guys, let me ask you a question. If you never met me in your entire life and I went to your house, and I knocked on your door, you adults. And I said, look, I'm just really worried about you. I think you need to get back into church. And you've never talked to me before. I never talked to you before. Maybe you've come to church and you've heard me preach, but that was it. That would be a little awkward. But if we go to meals, when I get to spend time with you, when I get to talk with you, and we get to form a relationship, and then I say, hey, I'm a little concerned for you. I'm going to assume you're going to take it a little bit better. Am I right about that? Hey, you cannot be an absent parent and then jump in when all hell's breaking loose and go, wrong. It doesn't work very well. You might be trying to do it. I'm just telling you, the reactionary parenting doesn't work. You've got to be involved every step of the way. Well, you might have different challenges. I've had people tell me, well, I'm a single parent. I know it's going to be harder on you in some cases in certain aspects. But you know what? Do what you can. And listen, I'll tell you, some people say this, I'm a pastor. I don't have time. Hey, buddy, you better make time. Right. Here's my point. We've all got reasons why we don't have the time to do it. But you need to. Speak truth into their lives. Young people, we're going to move in a little bit closer into your heart. Because they can set some boundaries on the outside. But you know what you could do the whole time? I don't want to listen to these stupid rules. Am I right about that? Why do they think that? It's because Pastor went up and started stomping around. He said, don't give him the phone. And then. You're going to have to take it the right way. And take it as they love me. They care about me. They're not perfect, but they're right. Look at Proverbs 4. Look at Proverbs chapter number 4. One night there was a violent storm. Bunch of lightning, a lot of wind. Not too long ago, we had a windstorm out at our place, and it blew stuff. I mean, we had one of those chairs that we had out for our fall fellowship. It blew that thing clear across the property, and I just remember right now, I still haven't brought it back. But there was a storm one night, but very violent, lots of wind, lots of rain, thunder, lightning. And there was a tree that had been there in the pathway of this park, About 100 years. Beautiful tree. And when that wind started to blow, that thing just snapped. All that was left was a stump that was all splintered up. You see, how does a tree that old, that strong, that well-rooted still snap in a storm like that? Well, when they looked at it after the storm, what they found out was that the termites had gotten in, and little by little, from the outside, everything looked fine. Are you with me? But stuff had been going on the inside for a long time. And I'm telling you, there are going to be storms in your life. If you have not experienced them, you will. And when they come, if you've allowed stuff in there that doesn't belong in there, when the storm comes, you're going to snap. And parents, I want to encourage you, do all you can, and adults, let's do all we can on the outside, but at a certain point, this is on you to keep your heart pure. Look at Proverbs 4 and verse number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, I don't know what your thing is. Some of you, it might be gaming. You might have gotten to like the 37th level on something, and mom's going, it's dinner time. You're like, no, I got to finish. And you're like, I've got to get this done. I got to get this done. You take that same energy and put it into keeping pure, you'll be just fine. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Every issue you're going to have comes from your heart. You know what the author of the book of Lamentations says? Mine eye affecteth mine heart. See, there's an eye gate. There's a gate of entry into your soul from right here. What are you putting in front of your eyes? There's an ear gate. What are you listening to? You know why some of you feel like it's a little hokey to get into some of these hymns? Because you don't listen to it any other time in your life. And then you come to church and you're like, oh, 472 in the blue, here we go. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. You know what it is? You're not putting any of that stuff in your life any other time. And then you come to church and you're like, where's the light switch? How can I flip this on? It doesn't work that way. Amen. Hey, adults, can I say this? I'm going to be real, a little bit more pointed towards you. You can't listen. I'm going to say something from the pulpit. May offend some of you. I'm sorry. You can't listen to crap all week and then come to church and we start singing hymns and go, oh, yeah, this is real good. You're not going to like it. You got to put some stuff in your life that's good. And if you're like, I can't believe you just said that, you have listened to way worse in this last week. Some of which on the radio that you shouldn't have. So don't look at me like that when I use that word. You know what that stuff is? It is exactly what I called it. Amen. I got one. That's good. Here's the point. You got an eye gate. You got an ear gate. You got a mouth gate. These are ports of entry and departure in and out of you. And the stuff that's coming in and out, it shows what you want right here. You've got no one else. Your parents, I can't, as much as I wish I could go, all right, I'm jumping inside Isaac's heart. Here we go. Isaac's like, that's creeping me out, man. Quit it. All right, as much as I wish I could do that, I can't do that. You know how as a pastor sometimes, it's so hard watching Christians and I go, no. Don't do that. Don't marry that person. Don't go here. Don't go. Don't leave church. Don't get out of your Bible. Don't get miffed about that. That's a stupid thing. Hey, get back. You know, it's hard watching sometimes, but you know what I can't do? I cannot force. Just like God will not force his will on you, I can't either. Your parents can't. You've got to want to be pure. What are your desires? Let me ask you some questions, young people. What are your hopes? What are your dreams? What do you want to accomplish for God? If I asked you, what do you want to do when you get out of high school? What school do you want to go to? Some of you might have an answer. Okay, if I'm asking you this question, what do you want to accomplish for God? There's a problem. Some of you got the next 20 years of your life planned out in your own head, but you have no idea where God fits in any of it. What do you want to accomplish for God? Can I give you my personal testimony? I saw my family was a wreck. And I saw my older siblings, some of which have come back to the Lord now, and with a lot of heartache and a lot of brokenness. And I saw what they went through. And here was what I want to accomplish for God. I don't want to end up like that. That doesn't sound very great, does it? There's no great thing in that. It's just sort of like, I don't want to go down. But I'll tell you what. That was something that kept me out of a lot of trouble. What do you want to accomplish for God? Who are your friends? Who do you confide in? You know, the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. You know where some of your hardest battles are going to be fought? Right here. You know partially why? Because of what you've allowed in here and what you've allowed in here. And there are going to be times when you're just doing your thing and all of a sudden thoughts pop into your mind. And let me say this. There are going to come times when you're going to really struggle with some things, and rather than dwelling on them and thinking on them and thinking on them and thinking on them and thinking on them, you got to learn to do, I'm putting that thought down. You say, why? Because the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, if it's lovely, if it's pure, if it be of good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. That's the internal. But you can keep it pure. Can I say this thirdly? The charge proves there is a blessing. Here's a blessing. The blessing of less baggage. Now, I've got all women. I know some of you get so tore up about it. If you get offended about this stuff, please don't. It's supposed to be funny. America's lost its sense of humor because everyone's on edge about being offended about something. You know, just lighten up a little bit. But I've got four ladies in my house, and when we go on a trip, man, I'll tell you what. There's no light packing, brother. You know, I come out with my one bag, you know, and it's like, I'm the pack mule, you know. I'm Diego the pack mule, and I'm just pulling everything, and everyone's got two or three bags, and then when we get there, I still didn't pack 47 other things. What do you mean? I'm thinking there's a dead body inside this thing. We get to the airport, and it's usually like, okay, Dad, can we fit some of our stuff in your bag? Because we've exceeded the thing by 7 pounds. What do you have in there? It's a 3-day trip. I'll tell you what, it is nice to have less baggage sometimes. Hey, when you want to go into marriage, you know what's really nice? Going into marriage with a lot less baggage. Because you weren't sleeping around. I'm just being real this morning. You weren't messing around. You weren't doing these things that are vile. You were keeping yourself pure. It is a beautiful thing to get into marriage and know that that's the first person you've been with. Amen. There's a lot less baggage when you do things right. The blessing of less distraction. You say, what is that? Remember the story of Samson? You know Samson's problem? I gotta have her. 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 He ends up blind. I would say that's pretty distracted. I was having a talk with someone at work the other day. You know, okay, if you lost your sight or your hearing, which would you rather lose? I'm like, neither. Do I have to choose there? You know? And we're talking about because I can't hear out of this ear. And he goes, man, I'd rather go deaf. Or I'd rather go blind because if you can hear. And when he said, I thought he was insane. I'd be honest with you. After the last week, I sort of am starting to see his point. He goes, I'd rather go blind because when you can hear, you're still connected to the world through like sound. And when you can't hear, if you feel so much, and that's the truth. I can't tell you how many times in the last couple of days, and they're starting to make fun of me like, oh, old man. I'm like, what'd you say? You know? You start feeling disconnected. But Samson, you know what Samson was? Samson was distracted. He had to have her, had to have her, had to have her. He doesn't have her in the end, and he loses his eyesight and his strength and his fellowship with God. He loses everything. The blessing of less distraction. How about this? The blessing of attraction. I'm going to talk to you young ladies for a moment. All right? Because we live in an age where anytime anyone gets a camera out, automatically it's... I don't know where this came from, but it's here now, and it's here to stay. Because anytime, don't look at me like, you know, yeah, right? All right? And you know, it's just automatic, all right? We live in the day and age where, okay, this is what I'm going to do to be attractive. Can I throw something at you maybe you haven't thought about? We're going to the nursing home today. I want to encourage anybody that can come out. There's something attractive about an 80-year-old woman, not in a weird way, but in a pure way, about an 80-year-old woman with white hair and wrinkles who loves Jesus Christ. Here's what I challenge you to do. Take whoever the most beautiful people are, whoever's at the forefront of pop music, and look at them when they're 80. They are not just ugly. They're ugly. Do you know why? Because there was nothing on the end. It was shallow and empty. Sure, you have money and fame, but then it goes away. And you're just left with you. Let me give you some verses, okay? Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord. Ladies especially, listen please. In the beauty of holiness. There's something beautiful about purity. Something beautiful about it. Psalms 29:2, give unto the Lord glory, do unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 96, verse 9, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth. The blessing of attraction, can I say this? When you live a pure life, and this works for everybody, boys and girls, men and women alike, there is something attractive about purity. There is something that gets the attention of the people around you when there's holiness in your life. When there's a desire to actually minister to people rather than get something from them. When there's a desire to speak kindly when people are speaking angrily. When there's a desire to speak things that are pure and right when people are speaking things that are filthy. When they see that you walk away from the conversation because it's going in the wrong direction, I'm telling you, I'm living testimony. When the stuff hits the proverbial fan, they will come looking for you. Why? There's something attractive about it. It's a blessing. There's the blessing of more opportunities. Now, you guys probably don't know this name, but Robert Murray McShane was an old Scotch preacher. He said this when he's writing to a young man, in great measure, according to the purity and the perfections of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talents that God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus Christ. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. The charge, keep thyself pure, proves there's a blessing. Let me say this fourthly, the charge reminds us that there are consequences. You know when God tells you to do something that's good for you, you know why he does it? Because the adverse of it is bad for you. All right, parents, look both ways before you cross the street. Brush your teeth. Teeth don't fall out of your head, right? Floss. Wash your hands. You know, you ever watch these kids around here and they got, you know, snot boogies coming all over the place and they're hugging everybody and they're putting their hands up. Oh, it's just like, oh, Lord, please, in the name of Jesus, get that out of here, you know? You wash your hands, right? Why do you do that? You tell them that because you know that there's something bad that can happen when they don't listen to you. When the Bible says, keep thyself pure, it's because there are consequences to impurity. Can I give you a verse? In Hosea, it says to Israel, they sown the wind. That means they sowed the wind. They were planting just a little bit, but they reaped the whirlwind. You see, whatever you put in the ground in your life right now, it's going to come up way bigger later on. And it's not always to the bad. It can be good. You can do that for good stuff. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 13. I'd be remiss if I did not give this to you. 2 Samuel chapter number 13. 2 Samuel 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. We're going a little bit longer. I apologize. I want to finish this up for you. 2 Samuel chapter number 13. And I want you to look at verse number 2. In verse number 2, the Bible says, Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. She was a virgin. And look what it says. Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But I want you to notice the beginning of verse number 3. What does the beginning of verse number 3 say? But Amnon had a what? What a great friend. You know what his friend convinces him to do? He convinced him to do something that was wicked and awful, and Amnon ends up dead. What a friend. You see, the consequences, that you think it's just little, the friendship stuff, the connection stuff, you think it's not a big deal, that stuff affects you big time. And where Amnon ends up, he's one of the sons of the king. Do you know what you are? You are a child of the king. And God does not desire for you to end up dead like Amnon does. God desires for something great out of your lives. Choice is up to you. Let me give you this lastly and we'll be done. Back in our main passage, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, or chapter number 5 rather, 1 Timothy chapter 5, the first word in that thought is keep. We're talking about a charge that's worth keeping, and it says, keep thyself pure. And I just want to say this, the charge reminds us that you're never done. I mentioned this on Wednesday night. The moment you got saved, your spirit was born again, your soul was washed with the blood of Jesus Christ and saved, but your body's a different matter altogether. You are never going to be done fighting to keep yourself pure. It is an ongoing thing. And we got some people here that work in maintenance. You know what they call? You know what they do? They have these things called these routines of PMs, preventive maintenance. You know what that means? You don't wait until there's a problem. You make sure the machine is oiled. You make sure it's lubed. You make sure the gears are tight. You make sure everything's calibrated as it ought to be. Why? Because if you are only maintaining stuff when it's broken, you're going to end up with so much baggage in your life. You'll be in and out of church the rest of your life, and that's how some adults live. And we don't want you that way. We want you to look at your life and go, man, there's a way to prevent some of this stuff with just some preventive maintenance. What am I listening to? What am I accepting as my desires? What am I going after? What is driving me? What is motivating me? Who are my friends? And so on and so forth. I mentioned Josiah. And I'll just end with this thought. He was 8 years old when he took over as king. He had one of the greatest Passovers that Israel ever experienced. A lot of joy, a lot of fellowship. You say, what was it? Josiah cleaned house. You know what Josiah did? He broke down the house of the Sodomites. He took the idols that were being worshipped and he took them and he stamped them to powder. And they took that powder, listen to me, young people. And he took that powder and he spread it over the graves of the dead people. He wanted them to understand those idols were death to the nation. If you're not careful, what you'll do is you'll go, okay, I'm going to sort of not look at that stuff anymore. I'm not going to have that in my life, but I'm going to still stay connected to it a little bit. And I'm not going to listen to that stuff today. He's right. I shouldn't listen to that, but I'm just going to keep it in the cloud just in case I'm going to listen to it later. Remember how hard, remember back in the day when you want to get rid of music, you just shot it at your, that's what I did. Anyways, take the CDs and shoot them, you know, and then you're done, you know? As a matter of fact, a couple months ago, we did out my property with Brother James. He brought some of his CDs over, and we're just taking shots at him. You know, it's good. But man, I'll tell you what, nowadays, it just hovers up there, doesn't it? You've got to determine that the things that are going to keep you from being pure need to go. And they no longer line up with life. I've looked at young people's eyes. And the ones that are walking with Jesus Christ, there's a light in their eyes that you don't see out there. And I've seen them when they got everything that they want and you look in their eyes and there's an emptiness. And I say this, adults, we're no different. Keep thyself pure. Let's pray.